Now, the arguments over police raids on a News Corp journalist and on the ABC, with threats still current for potential criminal charges against the former, took a curious twist last week. The deputy head of ASIO, Heather Cook, told a parliamentary inquiry that journalists should not be exempted from national security laws because some Australian journalists could be foreign spies. No hard evidence was offered to support this, and presumably not much exists, because if it did, those journalists would be charged as foreign spies, and they wouldn't get much sympathy. ASIO has pointed to an article written by the Australian Financial Review's former China correspondent Angus Grigg, in which he told of an almost comical invitation to become a spy for China, an offer that he had no problem rejecting. Now, falsely accusing journalists of being foreign agents is, of course, a process with a long history. Peter Grest has spent 400 days in an Egyptian jail cell on just such a false charge. Peter Grest is now a professor of journalism at the University of Queensland and is on the line. Peter, hello.
Good morning, Hugh.
Now, what do you think is the likelihood that journalists in Canberra or at the ABC or anywhere else are foreign spies?
Pretty unlikely at this point, I think. As you said, that if there was any evidence, then those journalists would almost certainly be in prison or certainly on charges at the moment. And although this has long been a hypothetical risk, and there have been plenty of mystery writers and thriller writers who've proposed using or have used journalists as spies in their novels, we haven't really seen the hard evidence to suggest that's something that routinely happens. I think one of the points here is I don't think we can be too dismissive of this. I mean, I think ASIO clearly has its concerns, and it's always going to err on the side of caution with this. But on balance, what we've got is a known risk to, or a known price, in fact, to press freedom, which is having an impact on the media's and the journalists' capacity to hold governments to account against a hypothetical and relatively limited, well, not limited risk, but a relatively hypothetical risk to national security that remains unproven.
So how great then is the price, as you see it, of criminalising potential journalists doing their job in Australia?
Well, let's have a look at the two stories that the AFP has raided, that the AFP is investigating the sources of. The first one was a story by Annika Smethurst, the News Corp journalist, looking at plans by the Australian Signals Director to expand its powers, or at least a discussion within the government to expand its powers to include the capacity to spy on Australians inside the country, which is a very serious and very dramatic expansion of powers and the kind of thing that actually we all ought to be involved with. This is a very serious matter of public interest, and we all ought to be a part of the debate. And I'm not making a judgment about whether it's right or wrong for ASD to do that, but it's something that, as Australians, we all ought to be aware of and thinking about and discussing. And similarly, the ABC story was a story in which there were allegations of war crimes by Australian Special Forces in Afghanistan. And again, remember, the Special Forces are operating in our names. They fight wars on our behalf. And as Australians, we need to know what's going on there in places like that. So I think in both cases, the idea that those stories could be criminalised, the sources could be imprisoned, and the journalists who covered those stories could be imprisoned, is a pretty good indicator of just what it would mean if we did shut down journalists' capacity to report. Now, you know, this threat already exists, and what we need to do is restore a measure of protection for both national security and for press freedom.
Since the attacks of September 11, 2001, there has been a tide towards national security, and the people who are part of that process will say with justification that their endeavours have kept us safer. Do you think, however, that there has been a loss of awareness, a loss of acknowledgement of the fact that a free press actually is a national security asset?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the things is that, and this is actually hardwired into the terms of reference for the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security, which is holding the current inquiry, which speaks of striking an appropriate balance between national security and press freedom. And that implies that it's a binary choice, that the more you have of one, that by necessity, the less you have of the other. And I don't accept that's the case. I think the two are part of the same system. Remember that one of the reasons that we live in one of the most stable, prosperous and peaceful places on earth is because we've had a democracy that's worked very well. And one of the key parts of that democracy has been a free press that's capable of holding our governments to account and the powerful to account. So the more you limit that, the more you undermine the system that's made us as free and safe as it currently is. And so I think the idea that somehow press freedom is separate to or contrary to or risks national security is a complete misunderstanding of the role that the press plays in a democracy. And there's also much, much more direct line. You know, the journalists have in the past been the ones to expose a lot of attempts by foreign governments to interfere in Australian affairs. And the journalists have been watching very closely the ways in which the Chinese government has tried to undermine Australia. So I think, and you know, we know of other affairs as well in which other countries, other governments have also tried to undermine Australia. The journalists have been exposing. So I think, you know, on so many levels, press freedom is vitally important, and it's easy to lose in this current debate when it's much more obvious, or it seems more obvious, than the way in which national security might be threatened in the way that ASIO speaks.
So you have put in your own submission, along with some other academics there from Queensland University, to this parliamentary inquiry. In it, you not only argue that there should be special treatment for journalists in publishing sensitive material, particularly a public interest protection if they do it, but you also ask that journalists be defined very broadly, that bloggers, that part-timers, that non-traditional players should be considered journalists, because that's the world that we're currently in. Doesn't this run the risk that it starts to get into where the ASIO Deputy Chief Heather Cook was going to, that if you define journalists so extraordinarily broadly, then there could be spies among them?
Yeah, and I mean, the definitions around journalism are one of those things that I think we're all still grappling with. It's I don't think yet we have a neat, easy, clean answer to this. But I think the fact remains that, and there's a danger that if we shut off all journalism, if we shut down all reporting on the basis that a few people might, who are bloggers and others, might be able to pose as journalists and so gather information for foreign governments, I think that is a bit of a misdirection. I think we need to focus on the fact that this is a vitally important challenge for us, and that press freedom really, we really can't afford to see press freedom undermined.
Certainly a fight that the whole nation is in, and thank you for taking a role in it, Peter Grester, UNESCO Chair of Journalism and Communications at the University of Queensland, and a man with more than a usual level of personal experience in this field. Great to talk to you, as always.
You too, Hugh.